Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the third and fourth Mishnah of the eighth chapter of Bava Metzia for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. The third Mishnah reads, Ashoel et hapara, v'shalcha lo v'yad b'no, v'yad avdo, v'yad shlucho, o v'yad b'no, o v'yad avdo, v'yad shlucho, shal shoel, v'meta, the poor cow always dies, pator, you are not responsible. So here's the case. You borrow a cow, and the owner delivers it via his son, or via his servant, or via his messenger, or even if he delivers it through the borrower's son, or the borrower's servant, or the borrower's messenger, and the cow dies during delivery, the borrower is not responsible since it didn't get into his hands. However, Amar lo ha-shoel shilchali biyad bini, biyad avdi, biyad shluchi, o biyad bincha, biyad avdecha, biyad shluchacha, o sha'amar lo ha-mash'il, hareini mishalcha lecha, biyad bini, biyad avdi, biyad shluchi, o biyad bincha, o biyad avdecha, biyad shluchacha, va'amar lo ha-shol shalach, v'shalacha, va'meita chayiv. So if the borrower says, send it to me through your son, your servant, your messenger, or my son, or my servant, or my messenger. Or if the lender says, listen, I'm going to send it to you via my son, my messenger, my servant, or your son, your messenger, your servant, and the other guy says, the borrower says, fine, do it that way, and the animal dies in transit during delivery, then you are responsible. V'chein b'shash machzira, and the same goes for when the item is sent back. So essentially, if it's in transit and you agreed to the transit ahead of time with the borrower is responsible if the animal dies on the way. But if you did not agree ahead of time, you didn't stipulate that the delivery was part of the borrowing process, so if it's during delivery time, whether it's there or back, you are not responsible. Now, the Gemara throws in a few discussions here. For instance, why is the borrower's messenger not like the messenger? Because we have a general principle that yad shulcho ki yad, the hand of the servant is like the hand of the master, so it should really be as if the borrower took possession as soon as the servant did. And the other way also works out, especially if the servant is a non-Jewish servant. If the lender sends it out that way, if the one who's sending it out, the owner of the cow, sends it out through his non-Jewish servant, as long as it's in the hands of his non-Jewish servants, it might as well be in his own hands, even if they did stipulate. So the Gemara goes through various issues and possibilities and restrictions on the law, but by and large, the Mishnah is pretty straightforward. And now on to Mishnah Dalad, which is less straightforward. Hamachalif para b'chamors. A machalif means chalipin, which we mentioned a few chapters ago, is an exchange of goods, not where you use money, but where one person grabs the one guy's stuff and the other person is going to grab the other guy's stuff. They switch stuffs, they trade. And even though the person who's making the on the other side of the purchase has not come and picked up the item, so let's say you've got a donkey and the other guy is selling you his cow, and the other guy takes the donkey from your hands, that cow automatically becomes yours at that time, even though you haven't gone and made a pickup on that cow. So where's the complication? V'yalda, the cow has a baby, has a little calf. V'chein ha-mocher shifchato v'yalda. The same thing would be on the buying and selling of slaves, which obviously we're not going to get into a lot, but we'll just state it as it is. Zomer ad shlo macharti. One guy says, v'zomer mishla kachti yachloku. So essentially, the item, let's just go with the cow for now, is still on the seller's land and it gives birth. The owner says the birth happened before the exchange took place, which means before I grabbed your donkey. But the purchaser says, no, it's not true. You grabbed my donkey first, and then the cow, that is still my cow, which is still on your land, had a baby. So the question is, who does the baby cow, who does the calf belong to? So according to this, if they both say that they have an equal claim, then they split the baby calf in half. They probably don't chop the little baby in half. They sell it for an amount of money and they split the money. Now, this gets us into the same complications as we had in Mishnah Bet, which is where, only according to Sumchus, do you not follow the rule, Hamotzi Mechaveru Al Avaraya, that you have to, if you want to take somebody out of somebody's money out of somebody's possession, therefore you bring proof. And here there's no proof. It's just he said, he said. And since the baby cow is on the property of the seller, the buyer is responsible. The one who bought the cow has to bring a proof that the baby was born after the chalipin was done. So that's a complication where what's being said in the Mishnah doesn't really fit into the overall halacha of a motzi min chaveru al avaraya. We'll get back to the complication a little bit later. But let's go on to the next case. Hayelo shnei avadim, echad gadol v'echad katan. So you had two servants, one big and one small, slaves. B'chein shtei sadot, or you were selling fields, echad gdola b'chak tana, one was big and one was small. Halokeach omer, the one who was purchasing says, gdola alakachti, oh no, I purchased the big one. V'hala omer, and the other guy, the seller says, no. V'hala omer, eini yodan, the one who's selling it says, I'm just not sure. So zacha begadol, so therefore the purchaser gets the bigger one. And once again, this does not work out with the principle of motzi mechaveru alav arayi. Even though the owner says, the seller says, I'm not sure which one I was selling you, if you want to take the one that costs more, the bigger one, you need proof. So what the Gemara suggests here is that what we have, as I mentioned in Mishnah Bet, is a modeh b'miksat. Since the owner is agreeing that he did receive money and does owe the guy at least part of the value. That is, it's not a question of whether it's I sold you the big field or whether I sold you a small field, but whether it's I sold you a field at high value or low value. So since he admits that he owes the guy at least the lower value of the field, he's modeh b'miksat, he makes a partial admission, and therefore he has to swear that he does not owe the guy the rest. And since he can't swear because he said, ein yodeh, I don't know, therefore he has to pay them full price. That's similar to the way we worked out Mishnah Bet. Hamocher omer katan macharti, v'hal omer ein yodeh. So if the seller says, oh, I sold you the small one, and the guy who bought it says, I don't know, say ein lo ela katan, so then he only gets the small one. Zomer gadol v'zomer katan. If they disagree, the seller says it was the small one, and the buyer says it was the big one. Yishavah hamocher shakatan machar. And then the seller only has to swear that he, in fact, sold him the smaller one. Once again, just like in Mishnah Bet, this doesn't really work out, since neither one is admitting to what the other one is claiming. So therefore, it's he said, she said, or he said, and hamotzi mechaveru alav araya. So once again, we claim that the guy partially admits that he did owe the guy something, and therefore, with a partial admission, you make him swear on the whole. And since he is ready to swear on the whole, therefore, we make him swear, and he only has to give the guy the smaller amount. Zomer eini yodeh, zomer eini yodeh. Both of them say they simply do not know whether it was the big or the small. Then yachaloku, they split it, and once again, this is not going according to the rule of amotzi mechaveru alav araya. So the Gemara says that this is like sumchos. And in fact, the guy only has to pay him the smaller, the guy only has to give him the smaller of the fields.